Barcade. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here it is, the 27th day of May, 2014. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. And we are streaming live from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and the soon-to-be-vacated headquarters of the AIC campaign, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Campaign. Hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you'll find the Listen Live button. Of course, if you're on a mobile device, you are more than welcome to listen via any of those platforms you may prefer. There's a number of them. A significant number of them. Things like TuneIn Radio, things like Stitcher Internet Radio. We're on Roku devices. All kinds of different sources out there. So by all means, help yourself and contribute to the conversation. Join in the conversation. Be a part of the conversation. And by way of reminder, should the spirit move you and you decide that you would like to be a part of the conversation later in the program when we open the phones. While we've been up here for the longest time, it was simply Skype to Skype. If you wanted to be involved in the conversation, you had to use Skype. And you still can. You absolutely still can. However, if you're just using what's known as POTS, plain old telephone service or cell phone or whatever, you can now also reach the program that way, thanks again to our good buddy, Psychoticus Rex. And the way you do that is the phone number is 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178, and that'll ring straight into the Skype account here. Yes, it really works. You heard a couple of different people use it yesterday evening, including our good buddy Bill, and it can work for you, too. Now, there's an angle on this, of course, and that is this. It only works for one call at a time. It's not like a fully professional telephone hybrid for a radio studio such as we have and have to get repaired back in almost level West by God, Virginia, where I can have a whole bunch of phone calls on hold at the same time. No, this is one call at a time. And consequently, low volume, Consequently, I can only have one call on at a time and can't have one on hold. But, you know, if you're patient, jump in after one call after the other, and we'll have a wonderful time because, after all, today is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Remember, Titanic Tuesday is named for the Titanic intellect that is so often present in right-wing thinking. You know, I know. The volume is low. You know what? The volume settings are exactly the same as they were last night. And I don't know why. I don't know why this is going on unless there is an issue. No, all the cables are good. Well, damn. Because I have this thing basically jumped up to 11. Maybe it'll get better along the way. Who knows? Anyway, I hope that's a little bit better. strange. No, really, I've got it up to 11. I mean, I can hear the air conditioner in the background in my headphones. Let's see, Sparky's checking in right now to give me an update. Some, he says, I can hear. Wow. Okay, I have gained this thing up about as much as I can gain it up without blowing up little LED lights on the gizmo. Okay. Yeah, good luck to us. Where was I? Yeah, this is why fully funded radio programs have engineering staffs, because it will absolutely make you beside yourself crazy to sit there and try to engineer on the fly and make stuff better. Because see, I sound like now in my own monitors, I feel like I'm screaming. Thank you. Agnes says, you sound great. Okay, thank you, dear. And Ferg just turned down the roar of the air conditioner in the background. Of course, a reminder that this is all listener-supported. We try to raise $150 on any given evening. And... Well, hopefully that's what we'll do this evening. Okay, some of you guys are just going to have to turn up your own speakers, okay? You're going to have to do that, unless you're at 11 too. Because I'm maxed out here. Maybe it's a sound card thing? I don't know. Oh, that's our sound card problem. Found it. Hey, Jack, time out. Okay. Okay, Jack, stand by. Okay, it is better, hopefully, now, and dramatically so. Do please let me know. Okay, Shorty in L.A. just bumped her EQ, and that sorted that out. But no, I changed sound card settings, and that's apparently all it took, hopefully. Yeah, some sound cards listen better than other sound cards. But this is the one we wanted to be in the first place. And I sure do hope it is. By the way, wander on. Okay, you're good, says Sparky. Thank you. Wander on into the chat room. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. It's free and easy, and more folks will be wandering by during the course of the evening. Like I said, the PayPal button's at headonradionetwork.com, and that's how we keep all of this going. We're sort of hopelessly dependent upon we just don't have anything to sell here. You know, no creams, no ointments, no fizzy things with to drop in the wind. No, nothing. All right, good deal. Thank you, Sparky says. All good here. Hopefully all good everywhere else. Sparky, for instance, is listening on a Kindle. God, that blows my mind. All kinds of different ways to listen. Via TuneIn, via Stitcher. We're working on trying to get hooked back up with trying to get hooked back up with iTunes Radio. I don't know if we'll have any success with that. Yeah, I just changed sound cards. Jeremy says sounding much better. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. All sounding good on all platforms. Thank you, Jeremy. Now, folks wandering by the headonradionetwork.com chat room, we'll have a lovely little conversation rolling there shortly as soon as we get all these little technical devils out of the way. And they seem to be. Hopefully, I've got a tweet here from Isaac. Hopefully, it's gotten better on your end, Isaac, too. This is how community works. Thank you, Darlene. Darlene letting me know that everything's loud and clear and working well. It being Titanic Tuesday, and Titanic Tuesday being a celebration of the Titanic intellect of the American right wing, which is to say a sarcastic reflection on its idiocy, there's a couple of different places we can go. My first thought was to run over to the follow-up to the god-awful Isla Vista Santa Barbara shooting and look into that a little bit further. And then there was something that I was alerted to just before airtime that almost begs for a mention. However, someone, I know not whom, someone is on hold. So let's find out. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello?
I've got an echo, but I just wanted to tell you I'm hearing you fine.
Okay, thank you, Edward. It's good to hear from you.
I had it turned way up, and all of a sudden you came on and just about blew my glasses off.
Well, I think you can gain it down. That's probably where the echo's coming from right now.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure. But anyway, I just want to let you know I'm listening at you.
All right, wonderful. It's good to hear from you, Edward. Have a wonderful evening. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Edward calling from Dallas. Good. Checking into. Sorry about your glasses, Edward. I'll try not to do that again. I suspect we will be having a further discussion about, not just the shootings, the stabbings, shooting people with soup with an orange juice filled super soaker dumping. I mean, part of Elliot Rogers' manifesto described times that in a fit of pique when he would dump. He complained that he wished his latte was hotter than it was, so it could have burned people worse than it did when he dumped coffee on them. Wow. Now, I'm sure if there was, and we have them. Okay, little right-wing lurkers, this is where you get to scream about what a damn liberal Bob is. There were warning signs all over creation, and nobody seemed to pick up on them. Don't know why. You would think that a guy who... I mean, is this just, and this is a California question for the California members of the Horn Family Commune congregation. Do people just wander around with super soakers loaded with orange juice and they hose people down with their daily dosage of vitamin C? And you're just glad it's not bullets? I mean, I don't understand. This guy claims to have attacked people with a super soaker loaded with orange juice and. Well, hell, I think if something like that happened in the hills and hollers of West Virginia, there would be some questions asked at the very least. Yeah. Mercy sakes. But the whole thing is a pathetic cry for help. But the saddest part of it, and yes, I know we're talking about white male privilege here, and it's hard to work up a real sad. The real failure here is in communications, primarily of the parental variety. I mean, this guy writes a manifesto where he talks about how he's been harboring all this agony, anguish, hate since eighth grade. you know, it's Ferg and I who are up here in D.C. this time. And Ferg went and read the manifesto. And he just looked at me and said, Dad, this is awful. And it is. All that energy poured into the manifesto could very easily have been, I mean, can you talk to Mom and Dad? Is there a school counselor anywhere? Is anybody listening? For this kid, apparently not. And, of course, there's always the fact that Mama did get worried and called the cops on him. And the cops went and knocked on the door, and he wrote about it afterward and said, you know, they went away. Luckily, it went down politely. I sure would have hated it if they'd come in, because then they would have found my guns. See, this guy was not planning on making a knife or a ball bat the centerpiece of his rampage. He was, it was about the guns. Because that's how we take care of business in this country. Had a note coming in. Had a note come in from Shorty in L.A. She writes, so if I was a blonde in college in Santa Barbara and told a man I was not interested in him, I should just run because my life is now in danger? Hell no. Screw these men that think they're entitled and entitled for me to have a relationship with them. Like, screw. No. Big, bold, capital letters. No. Male species grow the hell up. Women are always the victims of these males that feel like they're wronged. Now, some women can be vengeful, but if a man doesn't like us, the symptoms are overeating. Our symptoms are overeating, drinking, drugs, self-abuse, and other self-destructive things. So next time, men, take your pain out on yourselves. Check yourself. Leave us alone. Stop being completed assholes, that being assholes who have just been finished. Total assholes, the sum of all assholes. And there's truth in that because there's a large, I mean, there really is a larger conversation to be had. You know, although, really, why? What's more to be said? I mean, there is a conversation to be had about white male privilege, but the people having the conversation about white male privilege are people who understand what white male privilege is. And the people who aren't having the conversation about white male privilege are the people who are going to use their white male privilege to go off and murder people. What do you mean white male privilege? I got bills to pay. They don't just give me free house and free car. I got to work for this stuff because Merca. How's that privileged? And that is not a very broad caricature of what you get when you try to explain white male privilege to people who have no clue what white male privilege is. It's sad. It's a horror. Straight up. But here's the thing. We're gonna have more of them, not less. Now, you know that we could not go more than a day or so without that jiggling lump of drug-addicted protoplasm chiming in. Right? So, yeah, why not? Gosh! America's truth detector. Gosh, the man with talent on loan from God. Margin call. Gosh, man with half his brain tied behind his back. What do you think? We can't wait to hear it.
The kid in Santa Barbara, Isla Vista. Everything that has happened since is utterly predictable. Everybody on the left is taking another real human tragedy and converting it into a political issue, the purpose of which is to advance their political agenda. In this case, get rid of the Second Amendment and confiscate everybody's guns. And they're all out there in unison. They're trying to make the case that this is another instance where, never mind that the first three deaths were by machete. Never mind, maybe.
I have to interrupt this babbling bit of bullshit to share something with you. I found this on Twitter. I follow Carol Baker, and she is brilliantly funny. This is something called gun violence disaster bingo, also known as arguing with gun nuts on Twitter bingo. But it works on a cross-platform basis in social media. You know what a bingo card looks like. So I'm going across B-I-N-G-O, and then I'll go down the columns. Arguing with gun nuts on social media. And you know, you could actually play this and probably have bingo by the time we got done with this 11 minutes of flush flimball clip, which I will mercifully spare you from. Every bingo card has a free space, right? The center space. Everybody gets something.
Not the first three, but never mind.
So this. Agenda.
In this case, get rid of the Second Amendment and confiscate everybody's guns.
Back up just a hair.
Left is taking another real human tragedy and converting it into a political issue.
Got that? The free space on gun nut bingo, gun nut social media bingo, is you're politicizing a tragedy. See how predictable they are? Over on B, let's see, misattributed quote to a founding father. Have you even shot a gun before? And then there's, you don't understand my lifestyle. Because their lifestyle is all about going out and shooting guns. And then there's, they could have done this with a knife. Would you ban knives? Wait a minute. I got one on G. I got the free space so far. And then over on the top row of the O column, threat to kill you. Because they do that too. Okay, Flush, let's play.
The purpose of which is to advance their political agenda. In this case, get rid of the Second Amendment and confiscate everybody's guns. And they're all out there in unison. They're trying to make the case that this is another instance where, never mind that the first three deaths were by machete.
Oh, I got another one. They could have done this with knives. Would you ban knives? I think my board's going to fill up fast.
Never mind. Maybe not the first three, but never mind that the guns were not used for all of the deaths. We still got to get guns out of the hands of people. If you do that, this would never have happened. Now, I know as much about this as you do, maybe less, actually, than you do.
Yes, Flush, you do know less. You know less about tying shoes than most of America does. Jesus. Oh, sorry, Jeremy. Bob, duct tape and tennis ball warning before the dickhead speaks on your airwaves. I do know less about this than you. Come on, Rush. You damn sure know less about saying no to drugs. Oh, no, because I'm sure I think I'm going to have bingo by the time we're done with this.
As I've not been absorbed with it, because I think I understand it. What could go wrong here? You've got an estranged mother and dad. The dad produces oddball movies like The Hunger Games, and as a side hobby takes...
What, Edith, huh? Oddball movies like The Hunger Games? Like, suddenly, that franchise based on those best-selling books is... It's Hairspray? Oddball movies like The Hunger Games? I think I can get a dispensation. I can fill in the fourth one down on the second row. This is all video games' fault. Yeah. I don't know what I get when I win.
Photos of nude women's bare rear ends in exotic locales around the country. You didn't know that? You didn't know that? Why, they're in art galleries. This guy takes black and white, for the most part, artsy photos of nude women from the rear, focusing on their butts. One's in front of the Taj Mahal in the pool. Another, they're all over the place. This guy has got it, and that's his art. The guy's...
There are nude backsides all over the world, and they are... Jesus, really?
Father. The kid was in therapy.
How did you know there were about the nude backsides flush? I just want to know.
Since age 8? What did the kid believe? The young man believed that everybody was getting some. He believed that everybody was just having a life of pure total hedonism. He believed that everybody was telling the truth about all the fun they were having. He believed that he was missing out on everything and that everybody he knew, everybody else, was just getting the most out of life that they could. They weren't really having to work very hard. Everything was playtime. Everything was drugs, sex, and rock and roll, and then some more sex, and after that some more sex, and throw a little bit more rock and roll.
I love the way he says rock and roll like it's 1951. Man, that sex and that rock and roll. How is Flush Flimball going to even... I don't understand. And what I don't understand is this guy is totally divorced from reality. He lives in a 14,000-square-foot mansion, or maybe it's a 24,000-square-foot mansion, with his maid and a cat and his wife in a pit. And yet he's a regular Joe. I don't know. And it will probably be better for us all when this ends and I yell bingo.
And he wasn't getting any. And so he started blaming women, particularly blondes and others. You know, I have, and I don't know that this is going to be a factor in this. And even if it is, I don't know that you're ever going to be able to establish it. One of the things that's really bothered me, I've mentioned this before, one of the things that there's been a yellow flag about all this social media.
Really? It's a yellow flag, Rush? You know, Jim warned us just last week what happens when you carry that yellow flag. Taint pretty. A yellow flag. is it, you know, does Flush have his own personal psychotherapist in the room with a blowgun and a Thorazine tip dart just in case he starts to go sideways? This guy really is wasted on the air every day, isn't he? No, it would be wrong to bump out with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Wasted on the Way. I like that song. I don't ever want to associate that with this babbling junkie.
There are two things about people vomiting everything about themselves on Facebook and Twitter, MySpace, whatever it all is.
Really? MySpace? We've got a MySpace reference? Is Rush Limbaugh the last perv out there cruising MySpace? Well, my friends, I still use MySpace because my good friend Rupert Murdoch bought it.
The first thing that concerned me was people were volunteering to give away every bit of privacy they had. Why? Because they all wanted to be famous.
Well, my friends, I can tell you I'm famous, and it's not that great. Once you become famous, the next thing you know, you're having your pill bottles confiscated at the airport when you're on your way to your all boys Dominican Republic vacation with a prescription bottle full of somebody else's Viagra on the way to a place that's notorious for the procurement of little boy sex toys. All right. Fame? You don't want it. You don't want it. I mean, what does my $55 million a year get me? I don't know if I've got enough patience to go on and play Rush Limbaugh bingo. And to be lectured by Rush Limbaugh on privacy issues. It's, you know, somehow I don't think on I don't think the electronic front electronic for, no the EFF they're not a, he's not their poster child. No. Yeah, let's quit on Rush for a minute. See, the sad thing is that Flush Flimball and perhaps some others think this is actually about sex. That's like thinking rape is about sex. No, it's about power and perceived access or lack of access to power. But naturally, because he's a right-wing culture warrior, he's going to look at anything but the actual issue, you know, white privilege. It's about the Hunger Games, for God's sakes. His daddy made these weird movies. There's nothing weird about the Hunger Games. Goddamn, the Hunger Games is a metaphor for modern current events America. But then again, do you really expect somebody like a $55 million a year junkie to understand the finer points of metaphor? No, so anyway, just to share with you our arguing with gun nuts on Twitter bingo here. Line two, a good guy with a gun could stop a bad guy with a gun. Thanks, Obama. I think if we had finished out the clip, we probably would have gotten to the thanks, Obama part. Criminals would get guns anyway. Why even have laws? Legal argument from person who isn't smart enough to even go to law school. I would change that to, because we're talking about gun goobers here, legal argument from person who isn't smart enough to go to primary school. Link to Breitbart article. Yeah, you don't know the difference between some gun and some slightly different gun. Guns don't have minds of their own. You can't blame them. #socialism. My gun does not compensate for my tiny penis. link to scholarly article that does not support his argument. This is all video games' fault. We scored on that one. Failure to recognize that the Force, the Jew, I'd say we had a 50-50 shot of that with Flush. And then, you know, big one. We scored on this, actually. Hollywood liberals. Second Amendment, !!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!! Gun story so improbable that it might as well involve Marine Todd. Helpless plea to Michelle Malkin for attention. That's probably most of Flush Flimball's life. Thinks Obama has done something involving taking away guns. And then in the lower right corner for the win, hashtag Benghazi. They didn't care about Benghazi when our heroes was getting gunned down on direct orders of Hillary Clinton, now, did they? No, they didn't. We got a big bingo on Benghazi in the chat room from Tim from L.A., who also dropped a line here. Tim says via email, Bob, it's amazing how Lush Rimbaugh is saying that the left wants to take away our firearms when no one, including the father of the child who was killed, ever even said this. You know Richard Martinez? He said, our family has a message for every family out there. You don't think it will happen to your child until it does. His death has left our family lost and broken. Why did Chris die? Chris died because of craven, irresponsible politicians and the NRA. They talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? When will this insanity stop? When will enough people say, stop this madness? We should say to ourselves, not one more. Now, where did Mr. Martinez say ban firearms? I guess the cochlear implant in Russia's in Rimbaugh's ears must be going haywire. And I also remembered Rimbaugh praising Blackwater when they were taking away all the firearms from their victims after Katrina. Well, those folks were the wrong color and didn't have no business with no guns. He called the people troublemakers, and the people had to have their firearms confiscated. Yet somehow he's pro-gun now. Yeah, I get that, Tim. Yeah, more than. Marty pointing out that, Daddy, the father of the shooter, was a second unit director. If he were the director, that might be something. But, you know, we who are far away from Hollywood or entertainment production generally, you know, we tend not to see what god-awful hard work it is, because it is god-awful hard work. These are, I've got a dear friend who is a props expert and works in all kinds of film. He's worked on TV. I mean, we went to college together. And it's fascinating for me to watch his posts on Facebook, because it's a reminder that the business is a job. Anybody who thinks that entertainment is somehow just all cakes and ale has never been anywhere near the working end of the business and only been in the seats. This past Saturday, Ferg and I had the opportunity to see some live theater here in D.C. And it was really good. And I hadn't seen any live theater in quite some time. I love the theater. I'm a frustrated old actor. And we got to see some Shakespeare. And I sat there marveling. Of course, I was enjoying the show, but I sat there and all I could see was all the work that had gone into it. This is incredibly hard work. But because right-wingers don't value hard work, they simply denigrate it. Well, he makes these weird movies. Jesus. Six days a week and twice on Sundays. Rush Limbaugh couldn't do that if his miserable, sorry life depended on it. I mean, that man did 3 hours of middling grade talk radio, and it turned him into a mush-brained narcotics junkie. Yeah. Entertainment is very hard work, and not everybody's getting rich. Marty, in agreement, says, yeah, if anyone thinks Hollywood, the entertainment easy industry is easy, try getting into it. No, it's hard to get into, but once you're there, it's hard work. Crazy hard work. Note coming in from Michael in Madison. Subject line, blaming women. He says, when Jabba mentioned that the shooter started blaming women for a second there, I thought he was about to go all feminist or something. Oh, you're not into the spotted cow that early this evening, are you, Michael? It's a damn shame the shooter didn't have a $50 million paycheck and a golden microphone from which to call these women who refused him sluts. Perhaps publicly shaming them in that capacity would have been enough to diffuse his homicidal rage. Yeah, maybe. Because of course, $50 million a year junkies are privileged to be able to. I don't personally think Rush demands sex with women, but I don't think he's capable of sex with any human. If any human were actually to have sex with Rush, it would be bestiality on the part of the other human. See where I'm going? But, yeah. And Marty's right. Besides, Hollywood in the form of major studios and networks is all corporatized anyway. Isn't that interesting how the right wing can constantly bitch and moan and gripe about Hollywood, and yet Hollywood is the very epitome of that corporate world that they so adore? Yeah. Oh, Lord. It's going to be a busy Titanic Tuesday. It's about a quarter before the hour. And we are off and running on the evening's fundraising that keeps the program going. By that, I mean no responses whatsoever. So just remember, it does take, 15 at 10, 10 at 15, 2 at 75, 3 at 50, 6 at 25. Any number of different combinations is what keeps it going. Thank you. Thank you, one and all, for all of your help. And remember, if you want to use the postal service method, then just shoot me a line so that I can tell Boss Man Wayne to keep an eye on his mail on the mailbox and not have to wear his spider-proof gloves. An observation earlier from Marty, which is very, very true. Why the warning signs weren't heeded? Marty says, affluenza, perhaps? Yeah. It's, no, because remember, Fox News is out there to tell us all it's because he had the gay. Dave in Portland with an observation, gun violence. He says, here's my family experience with gun violence. I had a crazy uncle. Dave was a very successful guy. Starting out as a machinist at Kaiser Steel, he ultimately owned a machining firm in L.A. and did very well. He was an extreme right-winger, not a very nice guy, pretty crazy, and was a big gun enthusiast. He had lots of loaded guns, always had one within reach. I remember being at his house one Thanksgiving, and I was lying on the sofa in the den, and I felt under the couch, and there was a loaded .32 automatic there under the couch. That was sometime in the 1990s. Then in 2003, the news came out and went around the family. Dave had committed suicide right in front of my aunt. Apparently, according to her, they were having a conversation about remodeling the den. She wanted to do a remodel, and he didn't. And the conversation escalated into something of a tiff. Then, all of a sudden, Dave said, "F it." He picked up a gun. I don't know if it was that .32 I'd found under the couch, and he shot himself in the head. No charges were pressed against my aunt. I think the circumstances were pretty obvious, and I really don't think that anybody in the family was surprised knowing Dave as we all did. As I said, he was pretty crazy. But, of course, the presence of firearms in a home ups the likelihood of suicides and accidental shootings. It just does. Not that the National Right Wing Rifle Association gives much of a damn. Right? Yeah. So, this then, well, how about, has anybody, anybody who's ever taken one for the team and actually listened to the jiggling mass of junky protoplasm that is Flush Flimbaugh, has anybody ever actually heard him talking about ever having fired a weapon or owning a weapon? Me either. Why? Probably because he employs a security firm to do it for him. Just sort of saying. I asked the same question Marty asked earlier, and have not as yet. Well, I got to... I asked the question last night, and I'm trying to remember who provided me the answer, but Marty asks via email, by the way, has Alex Jones started going off on how this is another false flag job and the victims don't exist? He's been in reruns this week, I was informed yesterday evening, but don't worry, Marty, as soon as he gets back, we will be treated to, this is a false flag operation to try to take away our Second Amendment rights, and the Second Amendment's the heart. Let's see, that's on that bingo card, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Jeebus. Of course, Alex kind of got his ass handed to him not too long back by somebody who was murdered, or who had a loved one, a daughter, I think, who was murdered by a lawful, awful gun owner who was wielding a semi-automatic rifle. Thanks very much going out to Tim and to Tracy. Thanks to the two of them, we are now only $65 away from meeting the fundraising goal for the evening, which is a big deal indeed. Thank you, Tracy, and thank you, Tim. Have I said, it doesn't matter what I say. This is not about what I say. It's about what you think, and it's about your impressions of given stories or issues of the day. But there's a little bit of a tie-in here, Richard Martinez apparently awoke something, because we get these little wake-up calls every now and then, and usually something will happen to make us go back to sleep. Maybe an airliner will go missing in Malaysia or something like that. But there is pushback happening against these gun idiots all across America. You know, there one of those well, and I was reminded of this because specifically because Marty's mention of Alex Jones. He is associated with Open Carry Texas. And Open Carry Texas has been getting rather embarrassed of late because the idiots have been showing up and being told that they will not be served and that they have to leave. Just because it's so damn fun, let's check in on one of these. This is all courtesy of Mother Jones.
Yeah, the cops are cool. Yeah.
Okay, so total for number one will be 553, so total for number two will be 648, so total for number three 777, number four 640, 659, number six.
Okay, the audio's not so good, or it's not. You can hear it okay, but it's not coming across the stuff here. You got the gun goobers going to Sonic, and they're carrying their freedom protectors. And the Sonic manager comes out and says, "Oh, just wanted to let you know, we're not going to serve your ass. We're not going to serve you." Because you're bringing guns in here, and we don't like it. And then one big gun baby says, "Well, I'm leaving here because it's not safe to be here if we can't have our guns." Oh, I'm hoping the audio is better on this because the quote's even better. Please.
All right, over here at Chili's, we're going to do a little open carry at Chili's, guys. Got my PZ-58.
Going to Chili's. Taking his gun to dinner.
Good.
You know, I don't know about this goob, but I have a hard enough time not getting salsa on my shirt, let alone having to worry about getting it on my freedom protector.
Excuse me, sir. You good?
Oh, so one guy's got his Texas gunman belt with the bullet loops on it, and he's got his holster. Wah wah wah. Yeah, right. What, is George Bush there? And by the way, these guys can't shoot video for squat. Unless there's really some latency going on there, because the guy can't even get the lens pointed at anything. He's just taking a picture of this guy's. Oh, wait a minute. He's just taking a picture of this guy's butt with the gun belt around it. When are they going to start putting better microphones on consumer video cameras? Oh, they brought their pamphlets with them. How nice. Well, suffice to say, a woman, a mama, comes up who has her own video camera, and she refers to them as Texas retards, and I do not endorse the use of that word, but I understand why she used it. There's children here, and you're a dumbass. And then the Chili's manager shows up and says, you're going to need to leave your firearms outside if you want to eat here at Chili's. There really is, and it's a good thing, there really is pushback against these losers, and that's what they are, they're losers. These losers the goobertariat. Hey, I think we invented a new word tonight on the horn. Yay, us. The goobertariat. Sheesh. So, you know, with all of this craziness, at least a little reminder that there is some good stuff happening out there. So we're going to take a break, and hopefully folks will jump in and stand side by side with Tracy and Tim, and we'll take care of the evening's fundraising once and for all, and then I'll shut up about it, which would be nice. And then we'll go to the phones, your calls, for your estimations of the titanic intellects among us. I hate to say it, but I was reminded of this little ditty when I read the story of what happened in Isla Vista. This song has been around for years. I mean, years and years. If Agnes is still listening, I know she'll recognize this song. And not for any salacious reason, just because it comes with a cute little video, and we used to laugh and laugh and laugh at it. But it's... I can't help thinking that the Isla Vista disaster, the Isla Vista murders, could have been avoided with a little bit of simple talk and a little bit of explanation rather than suffer. You know, this kid made videos and he wrote long screeds about how miserable he was instead of talking to anyone about how miserable he is or was. We are a tribal people. We are not lone wolves. We are not supposed to sit there and just internalize our misery. We are meant to talk it out, whether it be in the confessional or on the shrink's couch or around the council fire. That's why we, as humans, that's why we can talk. There are essential things that we could no longer communicate simply by grunting and pointing. Our big brains outgrew our grunting and pointing facility. Don't bottle stuff up. It's kind of like the closet. It's a toxic place. This is listener-supported conversation radio. We'll open the phone lines up shortly. The Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen is on the way. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Everyone else has had more sex than me. Ooh. Everyone else has had more sex than me. Ooh. Everyone else has had more sex than me. Does anyone else get
It's Tuesday, May 27, 2014.
It's actually comparable to the Dust Bowl, and in some places, even worse.
Drought decimating Oklahoma's wheat crop.
Officials say 5 helicopters, 4 duck scooper planes, and 3 water bombers were brought in from Canada.
Massive wildfires in Alaska. The strongest May hurricane on record. California's oil is too hard to frack. Plus, the politics of language. Americans care about climate change. Just don't call it climate change.
Okay, I won't. All of those stories about climate change and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
It is primary season, which, thanks to global warming, will soon be our last remaining season.
I just hope it's our last remaining primary. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, record heat and drought out here in California. Devastating drought now in Oklahoma. Massive wildfires up in Alaska. Deadly landslides in Washington and Colorado. And yet, over on Fox News, where they like to keep their viewers stupid, here's what they told them this weekend.
They can't point to any place on Earth where there's been any catastrophic harm to mankind.
Is that true, Desi Doyen? No catastrophic harm to mankind?
Oh, certainly not. Just think of Superstorm Sandy, or Super Typhoon Haiyan last year, or the record tornadoes in Oklahoma.
Okay, there you go again with your details and facts and stuff. This will never do on Fox.
No, it most certainly will not. They don't want to talk about the evacuations, for example. example, that have been ordered after a massive wildfire erupted on the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska.
State forestry officials have called in reserves. Smoke jumpers from the lower 48 and firefighters from all around Alaska are helping with a ground attack.
That fire has now burnt through 250 square miles of forest, an area the size of Chicago. That's the largest of three wildfires burning south of Anchorage. One is threatening an oil pipeline. Now, while large wildfires are not unusual in Alaska, Forest Service officials say it's unusually early in the year for a wildfire this big, and it's unusually dry after the warmest January on record, when Anchorage was 20 degrees warmer than Minneapolis.
And as down here in California, the wildfire season has been extended by like a month because of global warming, correct?
Yeah, it's almost year-round now down here in California. We're also seeing extremes heating up the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Mexico, where Hurricane Amanda is now a Category 5, making it officially the strongest Pacific hurricane ever recorded for the month of May. In Oklahoma, record drought is decimating crops. Oklahoma City meteorologist Aaron Brackett of KFOR says it's actually worse than the Dust Bowl of the 1930s.
We're talking something that we haven't seen in not just years, but decades.
Now, the Dust Bowl came about because of bad farming practices amidst a drought. And yet we've improved those farming practices, and yet we're still getting Dust Bowl-like conditions now in Oklahoma?
Right. Good farming practices can only do so much when the climate refuses to cooperate.
But mankind isn't being harmed at all, says Fox.
And it's so bad that Oklahoma wheat farmer Karen Crivell says crop yields will be devastated this year, and that may force some farmers into bankruptcy.
We're only going to have probably something less than 50% of our crop this year.
And there are extremes on the Great Lakes, where the record winter left behind a record amount of surface ice on Lake Superior, even as temperatures soared over the weekend to a record 85 degrees just a few miles inland in Duluth, Minnesota.
So record cold followed by record heat in the same place.
Yep. Climate scientists have predicted for decades that climate change will bring an increase in intense and extreme weather events.
Oh, but not on Fox.
All of these predictions for years have been demonstrably false.
The only thing demonstrably false is what they tell you on Fox News.
Meanwhile, it looks like California's oil reserves have been vastly overstated. Federal energy authorities have drastically reduced estimates of how much oil can be recovered from California's Monterey Shale deposits, cutting those estimates by 96%.
In other words, when you look at the number, they overestimated how much oil they'd be able to get out of it by 2,300%.
Yep, it turns out the Monterey Shale deposit in California is mostly undrillable, too deep and too difficult to be recoverable with today's technology. Finally, Americans do care about climate change. Just don't call it climate change. Call it global warming. That's the conclusion of a new study from the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication. The study shows the term global warming resonates more than climate change, with Americans 13% more likely to understand it is a very dangerous risk. That confirms the secret memo written in 2002 by Republican language consultant Frank Luntz, telling Republicans to say climate change instead of global warming because it is, quote, less frightening than global warming.
Exactly. He knew global warming was scarier, and he told the Republicans to stop using that phrase.
And it looks like it worked.
For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Follow us on the Facebook and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. Shout your rock and cop around this heat, and why don't they do what they say, say what they mean? One thing leads to another, yeah, yeah. One thing leads to another. Love that song. 11 minutes past the hour, Titanic Tuesday on the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. And that song I bumped out with was so strange. Because it's almost like the kid was listening to that. But see, that's the thing. And I don't want to get all Hallmark Cardi or anything. He was focusing on sex and who he wanted to have sex with
which is kind of a manifestation of male privilege, white male privilege, coupled with ignorance, when what he was hungry for, by all accounts, his own in particular, was human contact, was love, affection, warmth. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let's go to the Skype line. Jeremy's calling. Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening?
I called to tell you that I've taken one for the team again.
Oh, no.
And I wandered off in, and I wandered off into the swamp, and I gave history another chance to perform miracles and put on a good presentation.
The History Channel?
Yes. So you can kind of guess where this might be going.
Did you watch The Wars?
Exactly, yes. And I thought it was well produced. It was okay. It was okay, except Hitler spoke a bad English. It wasn't German in subtitles or anything. And when they got to trying to explain why the mustard gas attacks that he suffered in World War One in the trenches and the multiple times he almost died in World War One made him crazy, they turned to Donald Rumsfeld.
What? Edith, huh?
Yes, he was their Hitler expert for that part of the war.
No, really. You don't get to just call this program and say crazy shit and pull my leg and do, no, you don't get to do that, Jeremy. I mean, you're not kidding, are you?
No, I'm quite serious. My jaw dropped. I had to do a double take this morning when I was watching it. It kind of blew it from waking up in the morning. I looked over and I heard the voice and I said, God, that voice sounds familiar because I was using my computer at the same time.
It sounds like a war criminal.
And I looked up, sure shit, it was a criminal. And I said, they're going to this guy to explain Hitler when Bush did equally as bad things in his own ways?
Well, you know, maybe you turn to a war criminal to explain the mind of a war criminal.
It seems like, it didn't seem like it was. It was a very distasteful thing to do on a holiday, which we try to celebrate and call Memorial Day, when it's about people who have died, when they go to a guy to talk about a guy who killed people for no reason, and then they have the guy explaining that guy also did the same thing and sent people to die for no reason and to kill for no reason.
Yeah, I'm sure the History Channel did not include the photograph of Donald Rumsfeld shaking hands with Saddam Hussein and while smiling, like grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush, right?
No, that 80s picture never surfaced. No, that was never there.
You know, no font. It said, Donald Rumsfeld, poison gas expert, you know, photo. No.
Well, you know, they talked about sarin gas and mustard gas Saddam had in chemical tanks stored, you know, in these cartoon pictures and basically tarnished and destroyed any bit of what's his name? Colin Powell ever had for integrity.
Wait. They dragged Saddam Hussein into World War One?
No, I'm just saying, no. They did that
okay.
By having Donald Rumsfeld explain Hitler when he's a war criminal, explaining another war criminal about doing basically the same things on a different scale, but the same things.
Yeah, but you see, Saddam gassed his own people.
Right. Just like the Syrians gassed their own people. And okay. Again, history repeats itself. We don't learn from our mistakes, and we keep repeating them.
Again.
It's painful.
Yep.
Just like me taking one for the team. I'll probably take one.
We're all good. We're all good. That was spontaneous audio starting. We're good.
Yeah, at least it was an advertisement.
No, go ahead.
So that was that. I will probably watch the next two parts with my teeth grit because I want to see what other dickhead they draw into this and try to make fun and look good on the show.
And
like I said, it was well done until he showed up. At that point, I was disturbed.
So was last night World War One and tonight is World War Two?
it's all three of them for, it's three parts, and I think it's World War One and World War Two, but how it changed these people. So far, they've gotten up to Mussolini stealing power, Hitler failing to steal power the first time, and Churchill coming back as a war hero, Patton a war hero, and MacArthur coming back as a war hero.
Nice. Larry in the chat room is pointing out, speaking of war criminals, right after World War One, Winston Churchill gassed him some Iraqis. Oh, well.
You know, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I don't ever remember being taught in school that Winston Churchill ever was in any battle. I was just taught he was a public figure in Britain politics. I kid you not, I did not know that.
Oh, no, no, no. After the debacle at Gallipoli, he was bounced out of the Admiralty and went into the trenches in Europe.
And well, they covered the fact that he made the big plunder and got all those people killed and was a horrible failure. Yes, they did cover that. But I never knew he was actually in the trenches. It was never covered in my history classes.
Well, how much is covered? I mean, a whole lot. You know, that's one of Dr. Bill's central tenets is that so much history is left uncovered.
It was just like the last night you and I think it might have even been Bill had mentioned something, and I just started the message saying I never knew that, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I never knew that either. And it was something that was kind of like a mind blowing fact, like this and this are connected. I never knew that.
You know, that's one of the nice things. Dr. Bill is back from his long sojourn across country, and he was live today, and he'll be live tomorrow, and things will get back a little bit to something we resemble as, you know, that setting on the dryer, normal.
Right. But, you know, and then this weekend I was subjected to hearing all the clip replays of Alan West shooting his mouth off about Tammy Duckworth, who, face it, she's not a liberal, but she doesn't need to be tarnished like he's trying to tarnish her, especially coming from here.
You know, I think we should be able to establish a bipartisan agreement. And not even bipartisan, because there's a lot of people who are neither Democrats nor Republicans, a multi-partisan agreement that if somebody leaves body parts on a battlefield, we just have an agreement that nobody gets to shit on them.
Right.
I mean, is that tough to say? But see, it seems that the Republican Party is the party that has the problem with that, because they did it to Max Cleland. You know, specifically Saxby Chambliss of Georgia did that to Max Cleland, and now Alan West is trying to did it to Tammy Duckworth. Another thing history probably never told you, Jim just reminded me, Churchill was involved in the Boer War, B-O-E-R, you know, down in South Africa, and it was in the Boer War that the English, because they're the one, the British, they're the ones, not the Germans, the British invented the concept of the concentration camp. That was the Boer War.
I knew that. I had heard that somewhere. I do remember hearing about the Boer Wars, just not that he was in World War I trenches, so, or that he had been, even that first battle which he blundered, I never was taught about. So like I said, all around I felt stupid last night. It's like, this is history we just kind of whitewashed away from today because it's not important, kind of like the whole Texas trying to throw Jefferson out because he had children that weren't white.
Jesus.
And he didn't have a big enough part in history. He wasn't a big figure. No one will remember him in a couple hundred years.
Yeah,
it's the same idea.
Right, certainly not as important as, say, Phyllis Schlafly.
Right.
I just love saying that. Schlafly. Sounds like a bubble. Sounds like a bubble in a bathtub.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's pretty much my rant for the night. Like I said, I took one for the team. I'll probably take one the next two nights, and I'll fill you in on how bad those are and what clowns they take.
I only thought about it, Jeremy, because because money. The History Channel paid for big poster-sized ads in the D.C. Metro station at Arlington National Cemetery. So that's how I realized it was going to be on last night and tonight and tomorrow. And the minute I saw them, I realized, hey, wait. Because first I went, the wars, this could be interesting. And then I saw that great big, awful History Channel logo, and I went, wait a minute, they'll probably have aliens winning the war. And no.
The way they produced it, I hate to put it on this level, but it was almost like watching or playing the game Call of Duty, the first couple versions where it was World War II. It kind of felt like that in HD. I hate to say it.
Don't feel bad. That probably was something that they probably modeled it like that because that's what resonates now.
That's exactly what it felt like. It felt like I was watching a live version of a game.
Since it's the History Channel, I guess you can check out the second installment this evening and find out about what happened when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
Don't jump, Bob. They might try doing it. Never know.
You think I'm kidding. All right, Jeremy, good to talk to you. Have yourself a good evening.
You too, thanks.
All right, bye now. Our buddy Jeremy calling from Vermont. Again, a reminder, if you want to reach the program via traditional telephone, you can do that now. 304-574-8178 is the number, 304-574-8178. And I did want to let you know that when Tim kicked into fundraising this evening, he sent a note and he said, hey, Hornies, I have a $50 challenge for all of you. Let's support Bob and Truth Radio. I like to think of it as Fact Radio, but the principle is the same. So the challenge is out there. Tim's put $50 on the table and is looking for others to match up. That would include Asa, who chimed into the tune of $10 a little bit ago. Thank you very, very much, Asa. This doesn't happen at all without listener contributions. Luda, with a note, asks, remember during the run-up to the Iraq War, the History Channel played that Butcher of Baghdad episode portraying Saddam as a dictator along the lines of Hitler? Try to find that show now. They've completely scrubbed it from anywhere they can. History Channel sucks now, Luda says. Nothing but stupid reality shows about rednecks. Well, except for this thing now, the wars. Jesus. You know, I was actually kind of curious what would happen here in 2014, being the 100th anniversary of the beginning of the god-awful butchery that was the First World War. If ever there was a war started for a dumber reason, I don't know. And it wound up being, it was the pass-through gate into a century of butchery. Because royalty was fighting royalty and using working people to do their dirty business. Ugh. Let's go to the phones. I believe we have Bill with us. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I'm, you know, you're psychic.
psychotic,
sorry,
maybe.
Psycho. Man, you're hitting me right in the face with, and politely, when you talk about World War One, I have a tremendous feeling about how that was the crank that somebody turned that has been cranking ever since. Because there's so many parts and small things about that that people don't get or understand or, like, most people have no concept of what we did over there. We were there, what, 1917?
We got there in 1917. You know, I was talking about the Battle of the Marne. That was July 1917. Yeah. We'd only been there for a month or two.
Well, that was the second Marne.
Yeah, that was the second
Marne. The fourth one was the War of the Taxi Cabs in 1914.
Right, and we weren't there for that. That was the French and the little English expeditionary force.
Yep, that was the second Marne. I mean, that's See, that's where that one book I've been looking for that I can't find. It's the penultimate round is the subtitle. Let's see, either 1917 or 1918. I would say 17 because seven penultimate means not the last one, close to the last one. Somebody refresh me. You're an English graduate, aren't you? You're an English major. Catch me on that word.
Well, I don't know that I can.
Yeah. But anyway, because there's so much, you know how much, okay, here's the Italians and the Austrians killed a million people on each side fighting over, you've got to look at a map and look at the section where Italy and Austria run up against each other. That was a farewell to arms thing, wasn't it?
And you know, you get, what was the famous battle, the most famous battle out of that? And it was, regardless of what front it was on, the single definition, Bill, is it was all butchery.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's one thing I'll say. The Union Army had the crank-em-up machine gun, and to my knowledge, it was never really used in a major battle of the 61 to 65.
No, it wasn't. They waited until they had some dark-skinned people to use it on.
Well, yeah, did they use that in the Philippines?
Pretty sure. Let me check here. Sparky gave me a list last night of the use of the machine gun. Here we go. Place of origin, United States. Used by United States, Korean Empire, British Empire, Japanese Empire, Anglo-Zulu War, the Boshin War, the Dongguk Peasant Riots of 1894, the Northwest Rebellion, the War of the Pacific, the Spanish-American War, the Philippine-American War, the Boxer Rebellion, the Russo-Japanese War. So, yeah, we were a little queasy about using it on other white folks, but when it came to using it in the Philippines...
You did it against our fellow Americans. They found it something they didn't...
The Civil War, we were not fighting against our fellow Americans. We were fighting against people who had declared themselves to no longer be Americans.
Yeah, well, you and I get kind of a... We have a streak in us, Bob, that, you know... I mean, yeah, she walked...
But the line of demarcation
on
that bill is that they were white folks. I mean, it's the same thing with Germany and Japan. We never would have used an atomic weapon on Germany, but why not? You know, we told ourselves they had it coming and unleashed the nuclear age.
Yeah, I wonder, in retrospect, what an invasion of Japan would have been like if their army had continued to battle the way they had. These people were...
Well, remember, they were suing for peace in June of 1945. They really were.
Except the guys who were trying were running into trouble with the damned Japanese military. These guys just did not want to even think about losing something. They were...
Well, no. That's not entirely true. The Japanese sued for peace in June of 1945, and they just wanted it to be a conditional peace in which we guaranteed...
Yeah.
That they would get to keep the emperor.
Yeah, we had to
and
go again.
And we responded.
Exactly right. I can't argue with that. No,
and we responded,
right.
Unconditional surrender, and then we nuked them, and they said, okay, unconditional surrender, and we said, cool, you get to keep the emperor. What does that tell you?
Yeah. Because, frankly, we were better off doing that. I mean, I'm not a big fan of MacArthur, but I don't know what he did right in Japan, like instituted. He pushed for the women's right to vote under the Japanese Constitution. And, you know, we put that Constitution together, the U.S., into the Wopers.
Right.
Or whatever. Because to me, we know so little about so many things. I'd love to find a damn readable or comprehensible account of the Russian-Japanese War in 1904, for God's sake. Jack London witnessed it.
Yeah, he did. And you know who else did? Another person who was a correspondent during that conflict. at the time in the early 1900s, he was one of the most successful authors on the American scene. He wrote books that were said to be regional romances. He wrote a book called Little Shepherd of Kingdom Come. He wrote another.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
He wrote another book called Trail of the Lonesome Pine. His name was John Fox Jr. And he was a correspondent covering the Russo-Japanese War.
Yeah. Well, Roosevelt looked the other way, so that we wouldn't, what we were doing in the Philippines wouldn't be, you know.
Yeah.
Looked out on. And he actually instituted Portsmouth, Treaty of Portsmouth, that ended that mess in that area. But I'll tell you what, if you can get a hold of something that chronicles the 1945 Russian, you know, stepping into the Asian end of the war, oof, they moved trainloads of their best people from Germany by rail to fight in Manchuria, etc. And some of the Japanese, they had a name, the Russians had a name for the, well, they called them the kamikazes or something like that. Or, no, what was the name that the Japanese liked to use? Bushido. Yeah. That was another thing. You know, I'm always
The code?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems that you know, people get pushed. Well, the leadership of a country can push the people into things that we just don't want to hear about nowadays. Me, when I hear this talk about the Ukraine and what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, what, 35 people were killed today at the airport in Donetsk.
That's not good. That's wrong. But what the hell can we do about it?
Well, but you know what? Let's look a little bit deeper, because that's our nature, I think, Bill. Donetsk, in that portion of Ukraine, pro-Russian separatists attacked the airport and were driven back. The Ukrainian forces claimed to hold the airport. The separatists claimed to hold the airport. But Donetsk itself is in the heart of a coal mining region. And, of course, it is badly economically depressed. And can we just take a moment and understand that kind of economic malaise and discontent goes wherever these hydrocarbon industries are?
Yeah.
It's an absolute fact, because what happened is the coal industry played out, the Soviet Union collapsed, and it doesn't matter if you're in the former Soviet Union or if you're in the United States of America or if you're in a depressed area in Wales. Once the money has pulled all the hydrocarbon resources out, they leave and they don't give a damn about those heroic miners who blah 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 blah. They don't give a damn.
Absolutely, Bob. You're absolutely right.
And so
your family has lived it, about it.
It becomes a fomentation point for disaster.
Well, Bob, you know how much wheat Ukraine produces for that whole part of the world?
They're one of the single largest wheat exporters in the entire world.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, of course, what does wheat matter to us? All we do is have to eat it, you know. I mean, it's not spendable, is it? It's not like the boys with the big money.
And oh, but it is. It is. But it is. I mean, the whole reason you wind up with the Arab Spring is because of a relaxation in rules regarding speculation on essential foodstuffs. So the price of wheat was driven so high on the global market that the people in Egypt could no longer eat bread. And that's how you get the Arab Spring and the Egyptian uprising against then-dictator Hosni Mubarak.
Yeah, don't remind me. I'm going to the food store tomorrow, Bobby. I hate to go in there with my stomach already upset before I get there. You know, my wall is upset before I get there.
Well, and you know, these are developed world problems. One of the things that I do love about being up here is about a block up, a block down, and a block over is this little bakery. And I think they open at like 7 in the morning. And if you're there at 7, the baguettes are coming out of the oven piping hot. And so the little corner grocery across the way sells a brand of Irish butter. And we get ourselves a baguette and some Irish butter, and they've got a nice all natural jam over there that doesn't have any high fructose corn syrup in it. They've got a bitter orange marmalade, and so we'll take the warm baguette, slather on the butter, let it melt, hit it with the orange marmalade, and I'm as happy as can be when that happens.
You're getting something on the head. Me, I've got to have real maple syrup in my house. And, of course, Shelter County was loaded with it. Chardonnay was. In fact, a friend of mine is going to pick up a jug for me. Of course, a jug probably is $25 today.
You know what I've got in my hand right now, Bill? I mentioned last night that I had friends. I met with one of my good friends from the struggle up in the Pinokies of northern Wisconsin. He brought me something, courtesy of another friend of mine up there, and I've just been looking at it and handling it all day long. I got to remember what the actual word for it is. It's kind of conical shaped, and it's got a metal hook that slides over the end of it, and it's got a spout coming out the other end, and there's a little tiny hole in the bottom of it. And what you do is you take a hammer when the sap's rising at the end of winter, you take a hammer and you pound it into the side of a sugar maple tree. And the hook that hangs from it is what you hang your bucket on. And that sugar maple sap comes up into this little spout, and it comes up through the bottom because the sap's rising, comes up through the bottom and trickles out into the bucket. And that's the beginning of what my friends up there are calling Pinokie Gold.
Yes. Well, you mentioned sugar. That's another industry that has run roughshod over the country.
Yeah.
They could do just about whatever they wanted to do. The sugar industry.
Well, but see, they got too greedy, and that's how we wind up with high fructose corn syrup in pop. And that's how we wind up with this god-awful diabetes explosion that we've had in this country that started, coincidentally enough, at the same instant that the soda pop companies started transferring from sugar to high fructose corn syrup.
Well, I don't know how many of you old-timers are out there, and I'll have to include you in this, because those of us who went through a Coke machine and got this funny green-colored little bottle out of it, when they were using sugar...
Mm-hmm.
And you could, for a while up here, you could buy supposedly Coca-Cola imported from Mexico.
Oh, you can still
buy sugar.
You can still get that on. I mean, I can even get it in West Virginia. Oh, and by the way, the little thing you use to tap into the sugar maple is called a spile. Yeah. S-P-I-L-E, a spile.
Because you got me on the house. I mean, I know about, because it's all my life, when I was a little kid, all we ever learned about Chardon was that was the place to get maple sugar. Another thing I've been hunting all over for, and I think I finally connected, was a brown spaghetti sauce that was, I had a friend who owned a restaurant. He used this, it wasn't real red, it was kind of brownish. And there was two or three Italian restaurants in Cleveland who served that, and The New York Spaghetti House, out of New York, you can still get that sauce. Because it's easier on the old intestines, you know? Can't eat everything. But before I forget, there was a guy named Rufus Dawes, who commanded the 6th Wisconsin Regiment, which was part of that 1st Brigade of the 1st Corps of the 1st Division of the Army of the Potomac. The guys who wore the funny black hats?
Yes.
The
Iron Brigade.
And his last name was Dawes. And here I just picked it up out of a book yesterday. his great-grandfather was a guy named William Dawes, who took a ride out of Boston.
Yeah, the guy who did the riding that Paul Revere got all the credit for.
Yeah. And doesn't that just happen over and over and over? And like people say to me, why did Turkey get involved in World War One? Because the Germans were pushing them. They wanted to close the outlet from the Black Sea to the Mediterranean. They wanted to close that badly because this is where Russia was shipping the wheat out of. And bottom line, no matter what we do, the bottom line seems to be money.
Always is.
Money seems to be the thing that pushes everybody. But I mean, when you hear this loud talk from these idiots that we should be prepared to go to war with Russia over the Ukraine, I'd like to know what the hell planet they're living on.
Well, they're living on a planet that they don't plan on living on for very much longer. Anybody who actually says that. And who was the idiot that called for that yesterday? I've got that somewhere in my email, and I saw it and just went, what? I think it was the half-baked Alaskan half-term governor wants to go to war with Russia.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, I look at that woman and say, how many bars did I see her standing behind swilling beer with people? I'm not impressed with her in any way, shape, or form.
No, well, anytime she says she wants to go to war somewhere, it's you first.
Well, that's the old story. You know, after, I mean, we had a, tell the South was conscripting before the North, and one of the criticisms supposedly this happened at Chickamauga when Longstreet was sent out to Georgia with some people from the Army of Northern Virginia. When these guys were going after each other, the guys from the Army of Northern Virginia said, you're not fighting conscripts now. And the guys from the North were yelling back, well, you're not fighting counter jumpers. You're not fighting, you know, city kids now. Because that was the big lever of that war was the Western guys from Minneapolis, from Minnesota and Wisconsin and you name it, you know. They gave a better performance. And that is not to say there's anything wrong with the bravery, because the men on both sides were insanely brave. If you ever studied the whole mess, the way they went after each other was Jesus. Well, there was one guy who said that the Southern infantry and Union artillery had no reason to fear anybody on earth. And I don't know, that's not the thing to brag about, but it probably was true. It's just too much. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, I don't know whether these were. I mean, what happened? Didn't they teach these kids how close we were to a disaster in 1962? I was 19 years old, so it hit me hard. I mean, that Cuban Missile Crisis was potentially real dangerous.
Oh, no kidding.
I had that Dawes thing that really hit me. I said, I'll be damned. The guy's grandfather was riding out there with Paul Revere.
Yeah, no
These
kidding.
Families.
Robert, in response to the conversation, Robert in Australia just wrote in, Bill, he said, go to war with Russia? That'll last about 30 minutes. Goodbye to the world we knew. And you know, hey, Australia and New Zealand get to live out the road company version of On the Beach.
Yep. Oh, my God. There was a Neville Shute. Was that his name? Wrote that?
That's
a long time ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember everything, you know. I mean,
you know what I remember about that film?
For lunch, you know.
You know what I remember about that film is that my father was a movie buff and would watch just about anything that came on television. And I remember one time as a child that movie came on television, and, you know, this is before videotape or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
If it wasn't in the theater and it wasn't on TV, you weren't watching it.
Yep.
But it was played on television, and, you know, I saw the title, On the Beach. I said, hey, Dad, let's watch. He goes, no, son, no. I said, why? He said, because it's just entirely too depressing. And for my dad to say that, that was something.
Well, he was one of the guys who was through it, and your uncle, of course. Was your dad, well, you told me where he served. Was it an aircraft carrier?
I'm sorry?
An engine guy?
What?
Was he an engine room guy or something?
Yeah, he was propulsion. He was in the boiler room.
Yeah. Not a very good job. Well, you and I remember.
But you know what? From a kid out of the hollers of Appalachia who's already comfortable climbing around in dark, deadly, gas-filled holes, he was just cut right out for it now, wasn't he?
Perfect position.
He told me stories about periodically the boilers would have to be shut down and cleaned. And he was a skinny little guy. I mean, I guess he was 5'8" and 120 pounds, if you can imagine. You know, the depression will do that kind of thing.
Yep.
And he fit. So after it shut down and got cooled and everything, he got to crawl through all that system and, you know, all the way up toward the stack, cleaning out all the, the filth, the residues. And he said later in life, throughout the entirety of the war, I was never so terrified as when I was doing that. In fact, if you can imagine, I never thought about my dad having PTSD or anything, but later in life, when he'd had a stroke, and he had to have an MRI of his head. And bless his heart, my father freaked out in the MRI tube because it carried him straight back to being all alone in the dark in that boiler.
Yep. My father's father worked for New York Central, and his job was to go into the coal burners and scrape off the residue. That killed him at age 53. You know, you can scrape it off burnt coal, the residue in the boilers. I mean, you know, the whole passage is wonderful job.
Well, and these were oil fired, but it's still a similar prospect.
Well, you just hit another situation. The U.S. sent 5 battleships to the British, who were based at a place called Scapa Flow. That's another one that's worth looking up if you can find it on the internet. Take a look at how it was built. And, when we got there, our naval ships, most of them were burning oil, the big ones. And, man, did that incense the English, because they were still burning coal. And, of course, where did they head right after the end of World War One? Where did the British head? Where did they set up shop?
Oh, would you be talking about Persian Gulf?
Yep. And you hit it tonight when somebody was making reference to the British were fighting the Iraqis. Yeah, there was a long conflict between those two. And, of course, you know, the guy that we sent over to Iran, you know, the general from the Gulf War, the big bluff guy.
Oh, Shortkov.
Yeah. His father was involved in Iran, and his father was also a highway patrolman involved in the Lindbergh kidnap. I mean, this is not that he had anything to do with it.
All these people do get around, don't they?
Yeah, the paths seem to cross left and right. Well, I won't keep you anymore, but yeah, that you hit it tonight. World War One, and we know nothing, very little about the Western Front. And nothing about that war between the Central Powers, the Austrians, the Russians, the Turks, the Russians. Jesus God, the amount of manpower that was lost. And, of course, you're familiar with how Lenin got back into the Soviet Union, aren't you? Supposedly. Germans sent him in a rail car, a sealed railroad car. Get in there and disrupt shit, you know? Go in and take advantage, because Russia was a mess, you know? I'm not exaggerating when I talk about the Imperial Russia, what bad shape it was in. And then, of course, at the Beer Hall rally, I think I've talked about that before, in Munich, when Hitler was arrested and put in jail, standing right next to him just about was Erich von Ludendorff, who was Hindenburg's chief of staff on the Western Front. So do these people just don't go away, do they?
No. Unless you do something affirmative to protect humanity from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when push comes to shove, it's all about the money, Bob. When you reduce it to its simplest form, it's about the money. And, Bob, it's about money in quantities that you and I just don't grasp. I don't think you and I would know where to start spending the crap, in the quantities. Well, didn't the Koch brothers' father go over and deal with Stalin?
He learned to hate communism when he got stiffed by Joe Stalin.
Stalin, yeah.
Hey, Bill, it's awful good to hear from you this evening. And
hang in there. I hope I'm not boring people to death.
Oh, no, you're not. I got several emails last night talking about how nice it was to hear from you.
Well, we usually can cover this. It's covering old ground, but the old ground, when you follow the old path, it leads you right up to where you're standing now. It's just difference of technology and such that you're dealing with, and communications and all that. Well, I'll tell you, I knew the fat man. I knew Ailes. He did a TV thing in Cleveland, and I was his contact man for all the hippies, because, who knew him, most of them, including a guy like Robert Crumb, who was working at American Greeting Cards for a while. You bump shoulders with these guys in a party, and you're sitting there drinking a beer and yakking with them, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't make me anything more. It just
and then you go home and realize, holy shit, that was those guys.
Well, as the years go by, that's when you start itching. You say, oh, Jesus, I met that guy so many years ago. Anyway, you take care of yourself.
I'm gonna try. You do the same, Bill.
Good night, friend.
Bye now. Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress, calling from Cleveland. I got something to share here. By the way, we are all told, let's see, we are $20 away from meeting Tim's $50 Titanic Tuesday challenge. Thank you, Tim, for making that challenge. And all told, we are $45 away from finishing fundraising for the evening. So that's where we are. And I hate to say it. I don't know how else to put it. It's how we keep all of this going, pure and simple. This from Facebook via someone by the name of Michael Phillips. Pretty good piece of satire. Dateline, breaking news, Associated Press. Millions of Americans expressed shock at yet another mass shooting, this time in Santa Barbara, California. I don't get it, said Stan Pflugerville, as he purchased an anti-tank weapon at a gun show in upstate New York. We have all these high-powered weapons in the hands of anyone who want them. We have all these scared, angry white men armed to the teeth, constantly looking over their shoulders. Yet we keep having these massacres. It just doesn't add up. Pflugerville then cut the interview short, hurrying to a nearby seminar called Fear Your Neighbor, Why Life is Hard for White, Straight, English-Speaking Men. Well, I would have thought this young man would have accessed our highly expensive, marginalized mental health care system, said Chaz McFuddle at a Chipotle fast food restaurant as he ordered a burrito and cleaned his assault weapon. The lessons of this tragedy are clear to National Rifle Association Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre. Clearly, we do not have enough guns in the hands of private citizens, he said behind a bulletproof window at his Washington, D.C. offices. I don't know how many guns Americans need to own to be safe, but we will all celebrate when we reach that magic number. Yeah. I know when America will be safe from Wayne LaPierre. It cometh to us all. Hopefully it will come to Wayne sooner rather than later. Maybe all the ghosts of all the people he's helped kill over the years will attend his passing and usher him on to, oh, come on, there's no afterlife, please. With regard to some of the parts of the conversation I was having with Bill, we've got a note in from Steve in China. He says, East is East. The Japanese, to every man, woman, and child, were ready to sacrifice themselves at the will of their emperor. Bombs or no bombs, it was the emperor's surrender that made the difference. The Japanese were as thoroughly and absolutely compliant to surrender on his word as they had been ready to never surrender beforehand. We had no choice but to let them keep their deity. As a Westerner, Steve says, the more you know about this world, the less you know. And I think we've heard that said by some other folks as well. I recall our buddy Kevin from Brooklyn mentioning something similar regarding his experience teaching in China. Oh, goodness me. It is 2 minutes before 8 p.m. here on the East Coast, 2 minutes, 7:58 in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. And we've got about an hour's worth of conversation left, I do suppose. And we don't necessarily, you know, I don't know about you, but, well, I saw something from Michael Moore earlier today where he merely posted that people were asking him what he thought about this latest shooting. And once again, he said, I have nothing to say except to say there's going to be another one, and it'll be sooner than you think. And that's because that's the way the National Rifle Association wants it. That is the way that gun goobers of America want it. Because of their sick, twisted, paranoid fantasies. You know, their lives are so otherwise hollow and meaningless that the only place they can derive meanings in their privileged lives is to think that somehow they're protecting America via their shooting up guns from some sort of horror that the rest of us limp-wristed, lily-livered sissy liberals can't understand, you know, because we're supporting that one in that White House, and there he is just planning to put his jack-booted heel right down on our freedom, liberty-loving necks. Right? Got it? Sure. Jeebus. So I think a break is probably in order. And then we'll come back to your calls. And, of course, there's other topicality. I've got a for-profit media story. I wish this was a joke. I would feel better. I mean, it's funny. But... I mean, it's just, well, it's the for-profit media. They are who, to quote Denny Green, hi, Sandra, they were who we thought they were. That never gets old. That's always funny. Maybe we'll get into that here in a little bit. Wow. Well, this will take a minute. Anyway, break time is upon us. This is the Horn, Titanic Tuesday. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Owner of a lonely heart, owner of a broken heart, owner of a lonely heart.
about 9 minutes past the hour. Back at it. This is The Horn, Titanic Tuesday. An extended version of 1983's Owner of a Lonely Heart. I remember when that was a big deal on, well, back when MTV played music and stuff. Good group going in the chat room. Larry's there, Tim, Sparky, our buddy Sentient, Psychoticus, who is responsible for the fact that you can access the program via phone now. Mr. Gibson, Lottie's there. John CDN, Jack is in the room. Oh, I'm sorry, Jan is in the room. I don't have my glasses on. Put your glasses on, Bob. You're old. And Horst is there, so's Devin, and Howdy Bean. Just a nice group all the way around. If you've never tried the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room, you really should sometime. It's quite a lot of fun. One last thing, because it's always good to be reminded just how utterly revolting the right wing are in this country. Eric Erickson has an answer. Funny how all these right wingers have so many answers about why these things happen. These mass shootings, these little presentations of the butcher's bill to innocent American citizens. His answer, it kind of goes back to the answer that was given after the Newtown massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary. Eric Erickson, revolting right-winger, says, "In a war on women culture, some voices have seized on this as what happens to men questing for a fully masculine culture. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Best we can tell, Shooter lived the very lifestyle the cultural left thinks men should live." Cultural left, please. Where? What? Because, you know, this every day while I'm in there looking in the mirror shaving, by God, I'm whistling the Internationale. For all the talk of a war on women, there has actually been a war on masculinity for a few decades. And more 20-something young men are getting lost and acting out while society tries to find something new to replace the tried and true. Okay, tried and true modifies what, you freak? Rape, domestic violence, the good old days when women knew their place and it was in the kitchen and it was barefoot and pregnant and silent. Society used to expect men to open doors, protect their families, and be champions of modesty and virtue. But chivalry is dead. Oh, F me to pieces. Anything to avoid talking about the fact that we are a gun-sodden, blood-sodden culture that just can't get enough death. Assuming, of course, you're not completely wrapped up in, my goodness me, did you see? I saw today where they've put out a photo of Kim Kardashian's wedding gown. Oh, my life is complete. Really? I mean, who, and this is going to sound a little bit elitist, and I'm sorry, and I'll probably go to hell for saying this if there was one. Who are the pathetic people in this country who while away the precious, finite hours, minutes, seconds of their existence giving a good old-fashioned damn? About Kim Kardashian's wedding dress? To a certain extent, and in later life, or when he was interviewed about it, and I know this because of some of the work that my friend Terry Pace has done, By the way, he won that Rondo Award, and a lot of you helped him get it, so thank you. And he won it for best article this year for an article about Ray Bradbury. But Ray Bradbury said that Fahrenheit 451 was never about censorship. That was the meaning that people attached to it. He said instead that Fahrenheit 451 was about the potential pernicious effects of television culture. And in Fahrenheit 451, you have scenes involving people who are absolutely, totally wrapped up in the lives of other people. Because they're projected onto entire wall-sized screens in their homes, and the technology has advanced to the point that they can interact and be a part of the scenario. How far are we from that? Text, my brain has been dead for years to, in order to vote for Kim Kardashian's backless dress. Text, my life is meaningless to fill in the, for your preference of whether she should have lattice work on the back of her dress. I know. There are the guys out there who play rotisserie league baseball and people who play fantasy football, and they keep track of the stats and stuff like that. And maybe that's no different from being completely obsessed with some gajillionaire's dress. And it doesn't matter if it's Kim Kardashian or some miserable member of that misbegotten royal family in Britain. We have no interest in the real meaning of our lives and the lives of members of our community, and instead, out of some dark corner of the lives of quiet desperation that so many in this world lead, we get wrapped up in Kim's dress and Kanye's tux, and oh my goodness. I did see where George R.R. Martin tweeted to Kanye and Kim. He said, I don't know why I wasn't invited. I do great weddings. And of course he was referring to Game of Thrones, if you follow it. And he does great weddings. I'd kind of like to see a Game of Thrones wedding for Kim. And wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, Jeremy pointing out via chat that Eric Erickson was just code talking. It was more get the gays code talk. Absolutely, Jeremy. Effing freak, Jeremy says. And he is that, too. It's cooled down a little bit here in D.C. We're having some Jim Dandy thunderstorms blow through. I mean, we're here in the basement, and I heard the thunder. Robert from Australia with an email coming in. Speaking of depressing films and books, he says, the most depressing films I've ever seen, Grave of the Fireflies, War Game, 1965, Threads, 1983, Testament, and On the Beach. Oddly enough, they all have a sort of common doom nuclear aspect to them, if I read Robert's email aright. Oh, yeah, and then this. Got this earlier today from Tracy. People who will not go away. Tracy said, I know you already talked about this, but damn. And you'll know why she says damn in a matter of just a, you know, a minute or two. People who will not go away. Joe the not a plumber. Joe the nephew of the senator who was caught up in the Keating 5 scandal in the, yeah. Also known as Samuel Joseph Wurzelbacher, who wasn't a plumber, but who's counting, right? No, there's nothing like a mass murder to bring out all the other, well, all the jackasses, the people with no dignity, no common compassion for humanity, nothing, no, nothing. So, yeah. Do tell.
When it comes to conserving his Second Amendment rights, even when it means the lives of innocent people are lost. On Monday, the conservative personality, whose actual name is Samuel Wurzelbacher, published a letter commenting on the recent shootings at one California college campus. See, on Friday, Elliot Roger shot and killed several students at the University of California, Santa Barbara. The event sparked gun control conversations, and the father of one victim blamed craven, irresponsible politicians and the NRA for his son's death, to which Wurzelbacher only said this, I am sorry you lost your child. I myself have a son and daughter, and the one thing I never want to go through is what you are going through now. But as harsh as this sounds, your dead kids don't trump my constitutional rights. Sabrina.
You got that? Gee, I'm sorry your kid got blown away, but my constitutional rights are more important than your dead kid. Or more importantly, your live kid. But you know what? While that is odious and infuriating, I gotta respect it a little bit. You know why? Because I've been begging for some right-wing POS to finally just say this. It's not about his constitutional rights, because Joe Wurzelbacher couldn't march a mile and a half in, as part of a well-regulated militia. And anybody who thinks so is, you know. But I've been, you know, Marty says, is there a need to mention this guy's name? Well, in this case, there is. Because Joe, not a plumber. Well, he's done us all a service. A lot of us have been begging for the goobers of the right to simply say that they're paranoid, not say, but admit, because it's factual. Their paranoid gun fantasies, they think, and he used the word, Trump. Their rights to have paranoid gun fantasies in which they protect American freedom by having ready access to all the goons they want, trumps a 20-year-old's right to become a 21-year-old, a 6-year-old's right to become a 7-year-old. So they've said it. Let's be grateful. Via Facebook, Darcy just said, I think he's just plumb crazy. I think that, yeah. Well, you know what? Thinking that your ability to keep a house full of guns is trumps the right of a 6-year-old to be a 7-year-old. I think that's kind of criminally insane too. He went on and said, the words and images of Mr. Martinez blaming the proliferation of guns, lobbyists, politicians, etc., will be exploited by gun grab extremists. Really? The people who don't want children to be murdered are the extremists. Well, what a world. As are all tragedies involving gun violence and the mentally ill by the anti-Second Amendment left. As a father, husband, and a man. Oh, as a man. because gun owning defines him as a man, though. Do you know what you just said, Joe? It is my responsibility to protect my family. From? I will stand up for that right vehemently. Best not shoot vehemently. You want to be cool and calm and rational when you go to do your shooting. Please believe me, as a father, I share your grief, and I will pray for you and your family. Oh, because that's going to do so much. As I do, really? Dear God, please take care of the soul of Mr. Martinez's son now that he's died so that I can have a house full of guns that one of these days some bad guy's going to take away from me and use to pistol whip me and then blow what little bit of brains I have all over my bedroom wall. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As I do, we still have the right to bear arms, and I intend to continue to speak out for that right and against those who would restrict it, even in the face of this horrible incident by this sad and insane individual. I almost said Obama voter, but I'm waiting for it to be official. Wait, what? Hold on. Wait. Time out. Gotta check. Bingo! and we got to it only 2 hours and 25 minutes in the program. Thanks, Obama. We can use that square there. Misattributed a quote to a founding father. I think with the Second Amendment reference can go there. So you're politicizing a tragedy. We got that. Bingo. I notice the mainstream media have stopped the practice of immediately reporting the psychomaniac as a conservative Tea Party Republican Christian. Guess they're sick of having to hide being wrong every time when it comes out the wacko votes Democrat. We really should be grateful to this sick, twisted freak, this walking amygdala. And then he proceeded to give some advice to Mr. Martinez. In conclusion, I cannot begin to imagine the pain you're going through having had your child taken away from you. However, any feelings you have toward my rights being taken away from me, lose those. Or what, Joe, you pissant? You'll go shoot him with your big old penis extension blue steel shooting gun? 'Cause you're such a patriot. You're all ready when the jackbooted thugs and their black helicopters and their armored personnel carriers pull up in your driveway in the dark and the still of the night to come and grab your guns. Horse hockey, you'll shit your pants. And lay down on the ground and let them cuff you and take you away. 'Cause you're a coward, Joe. It's all talk. It's all talk. Kind of reminds me of something. Is this it? I think so.
The only real attempt to question the authority of the judge's court occurred the time Bad Bob came to town. Not Dirty Bad Bob in New Mexico, but the original Bad Bob, the mean one, the albino.
Bad Bob's in town! Bad Bob in this town. Bring it out, go with it.
question what I say. I think you shot off my toe.
You beat the second one open from the big one. You go tell that snake scum judge that I intend to burn his eyes out and feed him to the buzzards. But before I do, I want to eat breakfast. I've ridden a long way and amassed a powerful hunger. Now listen, you tell him to prepare to go to hell. I will send him there directly. Now get!
What about my toe?
Now they're mine.
So just in case you're wondering, this is one mean hombre, Bad Bob the Albino, riding around Langtree, Texas, shooting everything with his shooting gun Freedom Protector. Because he's Bad Bob, right? You know, he cackles like an NRA member, too.
Cook it for me. Smother him in onions.
Referring to the horse he just shot. Being a bad, bad man, he lifts the metal coffee pot off the fire and drinks directly from it.
How do you want your horse?
Blue.
I love that line. How do you want your horse? Blue.
Handled knife and cut your head off and sell it to a friend of mine in a carnival. It is my intention, Beano, to rid the ground of your shadow and take my pleasure upon this town. I have one thing to add. Lily Langtree is a pig-faced, whore, bitch, dog, and I wouldn't waste my bullet on her, let alone my seed. You hear, Beano? I'm ready, Beano. Come and get it, Beano. Come on, Beano. Come on, Beanie. Come and get it. I'm ready for you, Beano.
At which point, Paul Newman, playing Judge Roy Bean, shoots Bad Bob, shoots a hole about the size of a softball right through him in the back. But you're Bad Bob, that's your Joe the Plumber, Joe the Not a Plumber. You know, that's your Wayne LaPierre. That's your open carry Texans. So piss pants scared of their own shadows that they can't go and get a goddamn taco without carrying a gun, cause it ain't safe out there. Ooh wee! I don't want to be that. I don't want to live a big amygdalas must be a very, very frightening thing. Frightening thing indeed. I don't know. Can we? Now this one won't keep it. This one won't keep until prayer meeting because it actually ties in. There is a considerable amount of discussion about Elliot Rodger and to the degree to which he manifests white male privilege. In other words, the woman of his selection, regardless of whether or not she mutually selects him, owes him sex. Enter Marion Robertson, former liquor supply officer, of course.
One okay, letter. This is Carol, who says, my husband is a regular 700 Club viewer and respects Pat's opinion. I thought he could help us with a discussion we often have about chores. Since both he and I have been employed outside the home, my husband has always felt the need to point out when he helps with chores around the house. When he washes the floor or does anything else, he says, remember, I did that for you. I'm sorry. We are both retired now, and I feel since we both live in the same house, he isn't
May
the
I
only...
May I ask you what that hilarity brought forth that laughter?
Oh, my word.
All right, listen, here's the deal. Husbands, you've got to understand the male psyche. The male wants to do something for his wife. He wants to provide for his family. He wants to provide a home. He wants to provide shelter and food. That's what he feels his male obligation is. And when he cleans up, it's saying, I love you. That is his way of saying to you, I love you. And you've got to understand that's what it is. And he's saying to you, I love you. And you're supposed to say to him, darling, you are wonderful and I love you too. Instead of that, you're saying, we've got a deal. We have a partnership. Now, do you want to have a loving, warm, sensuous, exciting marriage? Or do you want to have a partnership? And would you like to have a business relationship with your spouse? And that's what you're asking for. You say, I want a business relationship with my spouse. This is my deal. It's his deal. And we're going to cut the cord. And we've made a contract. And that's the way it is. No. And then Terry laughs at that because
no.
She doesn't.
Really, it's a wonderful perspective. And Andy, thank you for doing the dishes last night. I really appreciate that.
But you see what he's saying? I love you. That each dish, he's saying,
yes.
Terry, I love you.
Yes.
If you understood that and you say, darling, you're wonderful and I've got a treat for you.
And so is I with each piece of chicken I cook.
That's right. And wait till we get behind closed doors and you see the treat I have for you.
Okay. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yuck. So, husband does chore, is rewarded with sex. Woman works her ass off around house. Wife works her ass off around house. And she's supposed to... that's a treat? Oh, my God.
She...
Oh, Tracy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were talking. I'm just listening and... oh, my God. Hi. No, I was talking to one of my fellow cab drivers, and these people were tripping because it was three people, and they whether get on the bus or something, then split a fare three ways to go to Long Beach. You go right ahead there, Holmes.
I can't even begin to. Oh my God. But I'm sorry, like, as I took your call, and it's tied into the same channel as the audio is, I was, I washed the floors for you, and I've got a treat for you when we get behind, did you hear the Pat Robertson question? Sooner or later, this country is going to force itself into an actual discussion.
About race.
Well, about gender, about race, about violence, about gender roles, about what it means to have a real relationship. Jesus God.
But when I saw that today, Bob, the whole Joe the Plumber thing, I wept inside. Your dead kid does not trump my Second Amendment rights. And again, where does his Second Amendment, he's not going to be in a well-armed militia.
Or even a slave hunting gang, which is what a well-armed militia meant in southern states when the Constitution was ratified.
Absolutely. a well-regulated militia. We don't need a well-regulated militia. We have, that's what they, we call the National Guard.
Mm-hmm. But Joe's at home, polishing his weapon. I guess that's what we call it now. Cleaning his gun. God, I need a Clorox shower when I'm done.
I didn't even finish reading that. I saw the headline, and then I said, I've had my grandfather, my mother's father, shot himself because he back in the day, back then, had basically, well, it was a nervous breakdown. I'm pretty sure. With my own mental health issues, that he was probably bipolar. But back in 2 years old. My brother was a year old. So in 1969, you couldn't get the kind of help that is available now. I mean, very limited at best, but at least it's better than it was when my grandfather committed suicide. And then I've had a gun put to my head. My father put a gun to my mother's head. So I know what it's like to have a gun pointed at you. And I think to myself, what's the problem? Why is it that people are so hell-bent in not having, universal background checks that goes across the country? If I try to buy a gun, I have a mental health issue. I have problems with depression. I don't want to be able to have a gun. I would want my doctor to say, if they ever had a background check and they actually brought my mental health into play, if I ever was crazy enough to buy a gun. Well, Ms. Porter, you have issues with mental health issues and whatnot and so forth, and we do not feel comfortable with you having, being able to purchase a gun. Okay. But then again, like the reason why a lot of people down south are the ones, these people are saying that, they're on the getting their government draw, and they're saying that they're so feeble-minded that they can't work and whatnot and so forth. So if they start having background checks for these people, guess what? They're going to give up, either they're going to go to work or give up their guns.
Well, I got another one for you, and this is going to be hard. Comes out of Oglethorpe County, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a stream that flows through Oglethorpe County called the Broad River. And a lot of places in this country, fathers and sons go fishing. And fishing's nice. Fishing's fun. Fishing's relaxing. A father and son went out on a father-son fishing trip. They were putting their boat in at the boat ramp in the Broad River, and they had taken with them their Second Amendment protecting freedom guarantee and rifle gun.
To go fishing.
Well, because sometimes when you're out there on the Broad River, you look over on the bank and you'll see a wild hog. And then you just shoot.
Oh, speaking of wild hog, does anybody know anybody that needs? My mom, they just slaughtered a pig, and she has like 500 pounds of pork or something. Go ahead.
Oh, dear God. Stop with the food porn. they were putting in their boat, and I guess the boat jiggled or something, and the rifle went off. And
oh, no.
And the man watched his 15-year-old son die before his very eyes.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, see, that's the thing. So, guns are mechanical devices, and sometimes mechanical devices fail. Maybe it got jostled, and maybe the safety was just a little button, and maybe it got jostled.
The fact of the matter is, his son is now dead.
Yes, because it's Georgia, and you got to take your gun with you when you go fishing.
My brother lives in Georgia. He lives in Atlanta. I'm going to call him up and ask him.
Long ago was it up in Forsyth County, north of Atlanta, that the one guy was walking around the Little League field going, "You want to see my gun? I've got me a gun. I'm carrying me a gun here at the Little League field. And you know what? I'll show you my gun. There ain't a damn thing you can do about it. And a whole bunch of concerned parents who didn't want their little children shot to pieces like the little children were up at Sandy Hook, they called the cops, and the sheriff's deputy showed up and said, you know what? Not a damn thing we can do about it. Because freedom.
Because why? Freedom. Wolverines.
Yeah.
Benghazi.
Yeah, the law of Madison County Sheriff's deputy said, although the investigation is ongoing, all preliminary indications are that this shooting was accidental. The dad is extremely distraught. I wonder if Joe the Not a Plumber will send a note to Briar Newsom's daddy and tell him that as sad as he is that young Briar Newsom's dead, that that kid's right to life don't trump his right to a gun.
Where is Joe the Plumber from anyway?
Ohio.
What rung of hell is he from?
Proud son of Ohio.
Okay.
But he is he's a relative, direct, indirect, some kind of relative of what's his name, the Arizona senator who was part of the Keating Five scandal. He's a con artist, in other words. He's a con artist.
Yeah.
You know, Jack from Shreveport just wrote in, Tracy, and he said, seems to me it's really about the whiny baby selfishness of the right wing. Their gun rights are more important than other folks' life rights. And that's and like I said, as sickening as what Wurzel Bacher, not what a plumber, said.
Yeah, I don't get this. I'm sorry, do you guys have car seats? Huh?
Yeah, for those wondering, we're riding with Tracy, the lady cab driver in L.A.
Let me go. I'll talk to you guys later. It's against the law.
That's fine, but I'm
out of range. They write me up. I'm not refusing, I'm just asking, okay? And it's against the law for me to drive with these people without a car. If I get into an accident, and you said, well, I was just doing my job, okay?
Fine.
So if I get into an accident, something happens to them, it's on them and on you. Let's go. That is ridiculous. And I can't understand why people are traveling without car seats.
Little slice of life here.
No, this is, I don't understand. It's like, hi. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and leave you guys on that note that I'm going off on people for not having car seats.
You know, I don't think you're going to get a lot of pushback here, Tracy.
No, it's just amazing to me. It is absolutely amazing that, you know. You know, and then they say, I'll get in trouble if I refuse to ride. I'm a parent. I would never travel out with my son, out of my car, just car seat. Where are we headed, folks?
We need to go to a mall or something like that because we need to buy luggage, like a bag or something.
Okay. Any particular mall?
No, the nearest one you know.
Okay.
I have no idea where we get something. Someone said me that at Target we might get.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can get luggage at Target. It's just getting a cab back. So I'll take you to the Fox Hills Mall, and you guys should be able to get a cab back from there.
Okay.
All right. So anyhow, that's my life.
Sorry?
No, I'm sorry. I was on the phone.
Okay. My word.
Anyway, so now that I have kids screaming in my car and everything, so, you know, Horn family, you guys have a blessed and wonderful day, and I will listen to you guys. I will talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for the help this evening, Tracy, and you just keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down. And that, of course, is Tracy, the lady cab driver, dealing with things that cab drivers deal with. And that I would know. Really? No car seat? I think Agnes is still listening. And I'm guessing she's probably throwing things back in the home studio. They've got babies and they don't have car seats. Because I have seen Agnes get real righteously unhappy about parents who don't have car seats. I mean, it's right up there with, having a loaded rifle. Really? A loaded rifle in the boat? Because you may no sooner have the engine going and be working your way out into the stream before that wild hog shows up on the boat. Quick, son, give me the Freedom Protector. And, of course, Joe Huselwasser says that's just the price of freedom. Negligence, stupidity are just the price of freedom. Okay, so you want to have the right. I mean, I don't know. Probably holds two, three rounds. Or for all I know, I don't know. Maybe it was an AK-47, the damn banana clip. But really, do we have to have one racked into the chamber just to get the boat in the water? See, I know for a fact from my own family's experience, it's that one in the chamber that'll do you. It wasn't too many years after my brother's brains were splattered all over a wall that Ruger started actually making that little .22 semi-automatic pistol of theirs not fire if there was one in the chamber but the clip was out. See, in the case of my brother, the clip was out, but there was one in the chamber, and it would still go bang real good. Yeah, they go bang real good. A gun cannot misfire if there is not a round in the chamber. And I realize there's a lot of things to check on a boating trip. I mean, you don't want, there's a hole in the boat. There's no boating trip, right? Good Christ. How do you call mama on that? But it's just the deal. It's just the deal we make for freedom. Man, doesn't Joe the Plumber make you wish you believed in hell? Let's close on a giggle. By the way, it looks like we're also going to close about $45 short of the fundraising goal for this evening. Thanks very much to Tim, though, for making the challenge. We did meet the challenge, thanks to Glenn and Tracy and Asa for meeting Tim's challenge. Thank you very much. And, you know, there's a few minutes left, $45. Four people at 10, one at 25, one at 20, you know. Somebody is apparently playing with CNN's iReport project, in which citizen journalists report news that they kind of do for themselves. Some citizen journalist having been posted by Marcus575 that got 233,939 views before anybody at CNN noticed there was a problem. It read as follows. If astronomers are right, All life on this planet could be extinguished in less than 30 years from now. Scientists at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory have detected a large object the size of Manhattan, possibly on collision course with Earth, using their Near-Earth Object Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, NEOWISE. The 10-mile-wide object was found approximately 51 million miles from Earth. Scientists believe that during a close encounter with Mars, the asteroid was nudged off its usual orbit and may currently be on a high-speed collision course with our fragile planet. Somebody please tell me this is a joke. T-Bog, who is a blogger at Raw Story and is really, really good, reported this. Now, that's all scary enough, isn't it? But you want to talk about the immediacy of fear. It even gave a date for when this apocalypse was due to occur. Yeah. It's not really duct tape and tennis ball material, but still it kind of it begs you to take a little breath, because the date given, and again, 233,000, almost 234,000 people viewed this before anything was done about it. The potential lethal encounter, and it said so in the post, the potential lethal encounter with Earth was due to take place on March the 35th, 2041. Yes, I said March the 35th, 2041. Yeah, Agnes saw it too, and I have a feeling she's back at the home studio giggling. We're all going to die. When? March the 35th, 2041. I love what Tom Bagioni said about it. CNN has since pulled the erroneous report and issued a statement reading, NASA has confirmed via email that this story is false. A spokeswoman for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory says that the largest object detected by NEOWISE measures 3 kilometers in diameter and poses no risk to Earth. The I report has been removed. Signed, David W., CNN I report producer. CNN T-Bog continues, CNN told Bruce Willis to stand down and confirmed that no news gathering resources were pulled from its futile search for missing airliner MH370. That would be, yes, which will also be discovered on March the 35th, 2041. Got it? Good. So it's time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for a wonderful evening. We'll be back tomorrow with prayer meeting Wednesday, and it promises to be a real Lulu. Maybe we can find some right-wing ministers who can explain that people need to die. People need to die, you know, for Jesus. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this possible. First and foremost, you, with your kind contributions and the contributions of your time, and which is finite and precious, and your ideas, your conversation, your emails, your tweets. Thank you, one and all. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room, and our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to John Fox. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and AICACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next on the Horn.